الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to send His peace and His blessings and to exalt the mention of the Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. To continue with the book of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah al-Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah with the Sharh of Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhi wa ala Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, we were dealing in our last session with the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is known as As-Sami'. And we said that As-Sami' entails three things. There are two kinds, first, generally two major categories, and then they are divided. One of them is divided into three subcategories. Hopefully one of the brothers has memorized or somewhat taken the right notes in order to narrate that to us right now. We said Sami' has two meanings. One is responding, ahsant, mujib, the one who responds to dua. Yeah, that's one kind. And the second kind,
comprehension of sounds.
Aywa, comprehension of sounds. And we said that the comprehension of sounds is further divided into three categories. Subcategories. There are three things that, you know, three different ways. Who knows them?
Generally, encompassment of all sounds.
Aywa. Hearing, the general encompassment, alaykum salam, of sounds. You know, and then we quoted the example, the Shaykh quoted the example, the Surah Al-Mujadila, the woman that was arguing or discussing with the Prophet sallam regarding her husband. And Aisha sallallahu anha, yani subhanallah, Allah's you know, hearing encompasses everything. I was in the same room and some of her speech I wasn't able to comprehend. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from above the seven heavens was able to hear, of course, without a doubt. But this is the point of emphasis, that comprehension of sounds in general. That's the first. Good. Second one. Aywa, what is intended? Nasr wa ta'eed. Yani aiding. Aiding and supporting. Allah is hearing in the context of aiding and supporting. When Allah told Musa and Harun, إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. I am with you, I hear and I see. Which means here that I hear what will be said to you and I see and I will defend you accordingly. So it is means of supporting and defending them. And we said that the third kind is the one
threatening.
Hey. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّا لَا نَسْمَعُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ. Or do they believe or do they assume that we do not hear their secret talks? So here, that hearing is a threat, meaning Allah does hear, meaning be careful. So it's all dealing with hearing, but depending on the context, it could either indicate the general comprehension of sounds, or that Allah will aid, through the hearing, Allah will aid the one, you know, whom is, you know, in the context, or that Allah is threatening those who are negligent about the fact that Allah hears them, that through this hearing they will be responsible for the consequences of their actions.
Threatening from Zuhruf, huh?
Surah Al-Zukhruf, na'am, verse 80. But so we finish with hearing and we move on to Al-Basir. Al-Basir, the all-seeing or all-seer, different ways of saying it. يعني المدرك لجميع المبصرات أو المبصرات ويطلق البصير بمعنى العليم فالله سبحانه وتعالى بصير يرى كل شيء وإن خفى أو وإن خفية. Both, Allah أعلم, which is more correct in the Arabic language. وهو سبحانه بصير بمعنى عليم بأفعال عباده. The Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi said بصير, meaning the one who comprehends or the one who encompasses all that which is seen. Whatever is viewable or visible, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees it. And of course, not according to the human beings, because there are things that are invisible to us. So we're saying whatever could be seen with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is everything, not with us.
One who encompasses?
Yeah, al-mudrik li jami' al-musirat, the one who sees everything that can be seen. Everything that can be identified to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to us, because there are things that are from the unseen. ويطلق البصير بمعنى عليم. And sometimes بصير means really العليم, the all seer or the all seeing means the all knowing. We will see very often in the Quran it comes in the context of all knowing, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basir. He sees every single thing, even that which may be invisible to us, even if it is little, insignificant, tiny, hidden to us, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He sees all that. And also it comes in with the meaning of knowledgeable, the all-knowing. قال تعالى in Surah Al-Hujurat verse 18, وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah sees all that which you do, which means that seeing meaning knowing. The seeing means knowing. وَالَّذِي نَعْمَلُ بَعْضَهُ مَرْئِي وَبَعْضَهُ غَيْرُ مَرْئِي فَبَصَرُ اللَّهِ إِذَنْ يَنْقَسِمُ إِلَى قِسْمَيْنُ عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَكُلُّهُ دَاخِلْ فِي قَوْلِهَا الْبَصِيرُ. Now the Shaykh said the actions that we do, among them are that which is visible and that which is not visible. So then the basar, the vision or the ability of seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is divided into two categories. All of both of them are included in the word or in the attribute or in the name of Allah, al-basir. He will explain. وفي هذه الآية إثبات اسمين من أسماء من أسماء الله هما السميع والبصير. In this ayah, we confirm and affirm two of the attributes or two of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. السميع والبصير, right? وثلاث صفات, and three attributes. هي كمال صفاته في نفي المماثلة والسمع والبصر. The perfection of Allah's attribute. Now, what is the verse that we're dealing with here? Who remembers the verse?
Samuel Basir.
Hey, that's the end of the verse. This is the most fundamental verse, we said, brothers. Everybody should have this memorized better than his name.
Surah Ibrahim.
No? Why are we saying As-Sami' al-Basir? What was the verse? La yahaj. These were examples we were given to explain the different kinds of sami', the different forms that it comes in. But the original verse that we started this whole discussion with,
Surah Shura.
Shura. Verse 11. Speak.
Surah Shura.
No, tell me the verse.
ليس
كمثله شيء. وهو السميع البصير. You must memorize this. You cannot afford to understand the aqidah without memorizing this verse. Very small, alhamdulillah. ليس كمثله شيء. Very close to لم يكن له كفوا أحد. ليس كمثله شيء. There's nothing like unto him. وهو السميع البصير. And he is all hearing, all seeing. ليس كمثله شيء. Just keep repeating in your mind until you memorize it. ليس كمثله شيء. So then we learn from this ayah, ليس كمثله شيء. كمال صفاته من نفي الممثلة. The perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the perfection of the attributes of Allah from having any similitude. The perfection of the names and attributes of Allah from having any similitude, any parable, anything to be compared. No resemblance of the attributes of Allah to that of His creation in any way, shape or form, as you have seen from the verses. And then the second quality is as-sama', hearing, and the third al-basar, seeing. So then we learn two names, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and three attributes. One of them we learn from لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, and one of them from as-sama', one of them from al-basir, because we said the attributes is more vast than the names. The names is limited, the attributes are more. But وَمْ فِيهَا مِنَ الْفَوَائِدِ الْمَسْلَكِيَّةِ الكف عن محاولة تمثيل الله بخلقه واستشعار عظمته وكماله والحذر من أن يراك على معصيته أو يسمع منك ما لا يرضى. The practical benefits that we deduce from the knowledge we gain from this verse, ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير, is first to refrain from refrain from comparing Allah to His creation. Stop from comparing Allah to His creation. because Allah said ليس كمثله شيء. And those that are المشبهة, those who compare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His creation. That's the first thing that we should, the practical benefit for us. Secondly, to يعني bring to mind and to heart the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His perfection. And to be careful and cautious, to beware that that Allah sees you upon disobedience, or Allah hears from you that which is not pleasing to Him. So then, general, you know, bringing to mind the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, being mindful that Allah sees you, huh? So you do not want Him to see you while you are in the state of sin. You see, you don't want to be engaging in sin while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. Similarly, because Allah hears you, you don't want to say something that will be displeasing to Allah. So these are the practical benefits we get from the understanding of وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ النُّحَاتَ قَاضُوا قَوْضًا. This whole part I will يعني skip due to the fact that it is very grammatical and it will not bring us benefit due to our level, speaking of myself, due to my level of knowledge, it will not bring benefit. But so we will just skip this particular part. It is nothing important in a sense that it is relevant to the book. يعني this is an addition from the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh, dealing with something that the linguist dealt with some of the wording in the verses that we will not really be of any benefit for us, inshallah.
What you told is, seeing is two categories. The ability of seeing is two categories.
Yeah, that's what the Shaykh said. Okay. Now, when we move on to the book, and more in the book, we will deal again with the hearing and seeing, and it will be broken down more extensively. This was just touching upon it.
Two categories, hearing and seeing.
No, the seeing is two categories, that which is visible and that which is not visible. Mm-hmm. For instance, you know, the actions that you do, that's visible.
Yes.
And then the heart, the affairs of the heart. Allah is basir, Allah sees them, which means Allah knows them. These are the things that are not visible. The basar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses both. Yeah. That which is visible and that which is invisible. طيب. وقوله إن الله نعم يعظكم به إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا. Again, verily how excellent is the teaching which Allah gives you. Truly Allah is the ever all hearer, all seer. هذه الآية تكملة لقوله تعالى إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل. In Surah An-Nisa, verse 58, it reads, verily Allah commands you to render trust to whom they are due, and when you judge between people, you judge with justice. You render, the commands, the trust to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to whom they are due by Allah. And then if you judge between the people, you do it with justice. Meaning, if somebody is your cousin, you know, and he got into trouble with someone, you do not, you know, support your cousin against the truth. And you know, you don't use justice, you are oppressive because you try, he's your family member, you know, he's trying to, you know, do this kind of stuff. This is, yani, adil is even with yourself. If you committed a crime, then justice that you admit, you don't blame someone else for it, and things of this sort. فأمر الله عز وجل فأمر عز وجل بأن نؤدي الأمانات إلى أهلها ومنها الشهادة للإنسان له أو عليه وأن نحكم إذا حكمنا بين الناس بالعدل. فبين الله سبحانه وتعالى أنه يأمرنا بالقيام بالواجب في طريق الحكم وفي الحكم نفسه. وطريق الحكم الذي هو الشهادة تدخل في عموم قوله أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها. Let me just read the translate first. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then commanded that we render trust to whom they are due. Included in that is the shahada, the testimony that one has for himself or against himself or others. Whether it is يعني for you or against you, you must say the truth, whether it is for you or against you, in both cases. And that if we judge between the people, we do so with justice. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified that he commanded us to establish the obligatory in the way in how to do the actual ruling, in how to carry out the command and in the command itself. In terms of the how to carry out the command and then the outcome itself, both we were commanded to fulfill the obligation. The Shaykh will explain. As for the way in order to carry out the command, which is the Shahada itself, bearing witness, testifying. This includes in أن تؤدي الأمانات إلى أهلها, that you render trust to whom it is due. والحكم and the ruling, وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل. And if you judge between people, you do so with justice. ثم قال سبحانه إن الله نعم ما يعذكم به. أصلها نعم نعم ما, originally it was two words but it was combined like an أضغمت الميم بالميم من باب الإضغام الكبير. This is all تجويد. The meme with إضغام is merging. They were merged with one another as one form of the recitation of the Quran. لأن الإضغام لا يكون بين الجنسين إلا إذا كان الأول ساكنا وهنا صار إضغام مع أن الأول مفتوح. It just we will bypass. وقوله نعم يعذكم به, يعذكم به, جعل الله سبحانه الأمر بهذين الشيئين, أداء الأمانة والحكم بالعدل, موعظة لأنها تصلح به القلوب, وكل ما يصلح القلوب فهو موعظة, والقيام بهذه الأوامر لا شك أنه يصلح القلب. طيب, Allah سبحانه وتعالى says how excellent is the teaching which Allah gives you regarding what was mentioned earlier, that we render the trust to whom it's due, and when we judge between people we do so with justice. Afterwards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this is the maw'idha ya'idhukum, and maw'idha is admonition. You admonish someone, and you know it's called an admonition, and really admonition is that which rectifies the hearts, which corrects, يعني the hearts that are corrupt. So the Shaykh said anything that fixes your sick heart is called the maw'idha. It's called the maw'idha. And obviously establishing these two, which is rendering the trust to whom they are due and judging between people with justice, it is without a doubt these commands are means, alaykum salam, of rectifying the heart. So everybody knows what maw'idha is? Admonition. Maw'idha is admonition, and anything that rectifies the heart is called an admonition. Now you hear this a lot because you have ulama and then you have يعني wa'av, and they're not synonymous. Ulama, a scholar, someone who may not necessarily be involved in admonition, you know, he's more involved into the ilm, the knowledge, the fiqh, and breaking down, you know, the rulings and what have you, deducing benefits from the rulings, laying down foundations, usul al-fiqh and what have you. And a wa'idh is someone who reminds you of Allah. Someone who reminds you of Allah so your heart softens, you know. And you know, someone who will try to get you to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from your sins. Some of them combine both. Some of the ulama have the ability to do wa'idh. And some of them are, you know, strictly going in one direction. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah and Ibn al-Qayyim and Ibn al-Jawzi and the scholars of the old days, they were actually known for combining both. They had firm, sound knowledge and they had also the ability to admonish and remind the people. And many people, you know, returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repented from their sins due to the admonitions, whether verbally or through their writings and what have you. So anyways, maw'idha comes in a hadith that we mentioned last time in the lecture, that Al-Urbad ibn Sariyah, he said, وَعَظَنَا رَسُولَ صَلَّى مَوْعِظَةً وَجَلَتْ مِنْهَا الْقُلُوبُ وَذَرَفَتْنَا الْعُيُونَ. The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam admonished us in such a way that our hearts trembled and our eyes shed tears. So Prophet Sallallahu used to also admonish his companions. He would try to affect their feelings and emotions. It wasn't just knowledge. It was involved with softening the hearts and preparing one for the hereafter. ثم قال إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا وقوله كان هذه فعل لكنها مسلوبة الزمن فالمراد بها الدلالة على الوصف فقط ذلك الله. Now كان usually means was. كان is in the past. Usually is in the past. So the Shaykh said it's a verb. It's a past tense actually. كان الولد قائما. Things of the sort. The boy was standing. كان, he was standing. although linguistically it's a past tense, in the context of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it is describing Allah, it is that the tense is taken out. There's no more past. It loses its effectiveness in terms of the tenses, yani future, present and past. It no longer works in this fashion. It's only an indication. It only becomes a description to affirm. Yani Allah is sami'an basira, not that Allah was. Because that wouldn't make any sense, would it? It wouldn't make any sense. أي أن الله متصف بالسمع والبصر, that Allah سبحانه وتعالى has the quality of hearing and seeing. وأنما قلنا إنها مسلوبة الزمن لأننا لو أبقيناها على دلالتها الزمنية لكان هذا الوصف قد انتهى. And the Shaykh said, and verily we say that it does not have the time factor. The time factor has been removed, because if we kept it with its indication in terms of the time, then this means that this quality has expired. Meaning Allah used to be hearing and seeing, and it's not the case anymore. وَحَاشَ لِلَّهِ. And this is, you know, this is not the reality. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remains and ever will be. عز وجل. كان في الأول سميعا بصيرا أما الآن فليس كذلك. He was in the beginning سميعا بصيرا and now he's not. No way. No way. ومعلوم أن هذا المعنى فاسد باطل. This meaning is corrupt and false. وإنما المراد أنه متصف بهذين الوصفين السمع والبصر على الدوام. Rather, what is intended that Allah has these two qualities consistently, eternally, سمع والبصر. وكان في مثل هذا السياق يراد بها التحقيق. In such context, كان means affirming, establishing only, not the time factor. The time factor has been removed. This is something known among the Arabs, you know, the exceptions to the rule. There are rules and there are exceptions to the rules. Usually things are a certain way, and sometimes this is not the case, you know, and this is one of them. وقوله سميعا بصيرا نقول فيها كما قلنا في الآية التي قبلها. We do not need to repeat, the Shaykh said. We say regarding سميعا بصيرا what we said regarding ليس كمثله شيء وهو سميع البصير. It's the same thing. So there's no need to repeat that. We already dealt with the different kinds of سمع and different kinds of بصر. فيها إثبات السمع لله بقسميه وإثبات البصر بقسميه. Then it contains affirming Allah's hearing according to the two major categories, and vision, the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the two major categories, which we said already, we explained them. In the سمع, in the بصر, that which is seen and that which is unseen. And the سمع, responding to the dua, is one, and the general comprehension of sounds, or the comprehension of sounds, is the second. Then that is divided into three: the general comprehension of sounds, aiding and assisting and supporting as the second, and threatening as the last. I hope you remember them, inshallah. Now, do we or do we not? Okay. وفي الآية من أسماء الله إثبات اسمين هما السميع والبصير. In this ayah then, we confirm how many names to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many names are affirmed to Allah? Two. السميع والبصير. Maybe eventually one of you, inshallah, will volunteer to compile all the ones that we have already learned, you know, eventually. And so then you will just give us the whole thing. Because we've already established, you know, more than Ar-Razzaq, right? Al-Qawi and other ones from the beginning when we started dealing with the names and attributes, Al-Ali, Al-Azim and so forth. Maybe someone will eventually compile them so we could see how many we get from the actual verses that Shaykh al-Islam Tamir rahimahullah quoted in terms of affirming the names and attributes of Allah, the names specifically. Tayyib, moving on to a new verses dealing with new names and attributes. قوله ولولا إذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله. Everybody should have it on every store. Even falafel store, طعمية, ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله. ولولا إذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله. It was better for you. Really, what is me? Both actually. Yeah. It was better for you when you entered your garden that you should have said, MashaAllah, that which Allah wills, meaning will come to pass, and there's no power but with Allah. That's what is expected of, actually this is a sunnah, I don't know if the Shaykh will mention that, but that's what you're supposed to do when you see something that you like. Okay? Not when the people say, wow! And you know, the person just passes out. Allah told you, kill him with your eye. You know, this is how the evil eye works. When you see something that you like and you know, you just react like you just came from China. Another country, but I didn't want to, you know, say, you know, no wow and none of this crazy stuff. You see something, say, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. Especially children. When you see a young child, something that pleases to you, see a brother, looks nice, anything of the sort, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah, fiqh. Prophet ﷺ said that if one of you sees something that he likes, let him do barakah. Say tabarruk, يعني, and you barak fi shay, you barak ala shay. Ma ma'nata, يعني, not that you are seek blessing from him, rather you make dua of barakah for him. So you say, barakallah fiqh. And even one of the scholars said, even if you look in the mirror and you think that you look extra handsome on that particular day, I don't know if anyone of us ever does that, then you similarly say, barakallahu fiyya, may Allah bless, you may even kill yourself. So the idea is, when you see something that you like, you say, mashaAllah, tabarakallah, or mashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. Because when he entered his garden, he didn't say that. He said, oh, you know, blah. He started bragging. I am better than you. I have this, I have that. It was all destroyed. So then, that's a neglected sunnah in this day and time. When you see something you like, children, the things of the sort, make sure that you make dua for them. May Allah bless him for you. Barakallah fi him. Barakallah fi him. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Things of the sort. Not any other expression. Okay, or at least the first expression, then tabarakallah. You know, mention the barakah as well.
People mostly say mashallah only.
That's fine. As long as the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered, in a sense, you know, and is means of protection from the evil eye, inshallah. Tayyib, this is the first verse. The second, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. The first one, Surah Al-Kahf, earlier, verse 39. This was in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 253. If Allah had willed, they would not have fought against one another. But Allah does what He likes. But Allah does what He likes or what He wills. And the last one is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 1. وَقَوْلُهُ وَأُحِلَّتْ لَكُمْ بَهِيمَةُ الْأَنْعَامِ إِلَّا مَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ غَيْرَ مُحِلِّي الصَّيْدِ وَأَنْتُمْ حُرُمٌ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمُ مَا يُرِيدُ. Lawful for you are the animals of grazing livestock, except for that which is recited to you, which is hunting, not being permitted while you're in the state of ihram. Going Hajj or Umrah, you do not hunt. Inna Allah yahkum wa yurid. Verily Allah commands that which He wills. Verily Allah commands that which He wills. This was Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 1. And the last one is in Surah Al-An'am, verse 125. We will deal with all of these verses. But the Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, quoted them all in one context, because they're trying to prove the same quality of Allah, which we will see, inshallah. فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. And whosoever Allah wills to guide, He opens his heart to Islam. And whosoever He wills to lead astray, He makes his breast close and constricted as if he is climbing up in the sky. This is, by the way, very relevant to da'wah, that, you know, sometimes when you give da'wah to someone and you see that they are willingly accept, you know, they are just liking whatever they're hearing about Islam, this is an indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to guide them to Islam, so they just, you know, accept. And when someone is the other way around, they continue to find, you know, they're not really digesting the information you're giving them, no matter how logical and sound it is. They just don't, you know, they don't get it, or they don't want to get it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make their chest tight and you know, closed and constricted as if they climb in the sky. We will see how that is explained also. طيب, أشرح هذه آيات في إثبات صفات الله في صفتي المشيئة والإرادة. These ayat, these verses that the Shaykh quoted, are used to affirm two qualities of Allah. المشيئة والإرادة. Al-Mashi'a, which is the will. And Al-Irada is almost like whatever Allah intends. We will see, there's a little, the English doesn't really help. We will see how that slight variation between them and how to understand them in the right context. Bi-idhnillah Azza wa Jal. فالآيه الاولى قوله تعالى ولولا اذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله لا قوه الا بالله. ولولا بمعنى هلا فهي للتحضيض، والمراد بها هنا التوبيخ، بمعنى أنه يوبخه على ترك هذا القول. لولا means هلا meaning had you not، هلا meaning had you not، هلا أتيت مبكرا، had you not come early that's what it means. He said but here what is intended is reprimanding. Even when I say had you come early, I'm reprimanding you for being late. So here what is intended is that he is reprimanding him for abandoning the statement. You know, had you said that, meaning why didn't you say that? Why didn't you say that? إذ دخلت يعني حين دخلت, when you entered جنتك, your garden. جنة is a garden. Of course, not, we're not talking about جنة, جنة الفردوس or the جنان of the hereafter. The جنة of the dunya is any garden, it's called جنة. الجنة بفتح الجيم هي البستان الكثير الأشجار. It comes, البستان is like a garden actually that is full of trees. That's why it's called جنة. Full of trees, many, a lot of trees and vegetation. سميت بذلك لأن من فيها مستتر بأشجارها وغصونها فهو مستجن فيها. It was called Jannah because the one who's sitting in one of them, he is covered with the various branches and the trees and the branches all around him. So he is mustajin, he is like doing istijana in the actual Jannah. That's why it's called Jannah. Linguistically, this is all linguistically. So Jannah is that which covers, that is abundant of trees. And whenever you are sitting there, you are like almost covered, you are surrounded by them. So you are mustajan fiha, so it's called Jannah. وهذه المادة الجيم والنون, this the root word, it comes from جيم and نون, تدل على الاستتار. It indicates covering. Covering or taken as a shield or a protection. ومنها الجنة بضم الجيم التي يتترس بها الإنسان عند القتال. ومنها الجنة بكسر الجيم يعني الجن لأنهم مستترون. So now, ironically, maybe you've never known this, but now this tells you how deep the Arabic language is. Actually, all these words you heard are derived from the same root word, which is made of just two letters, الجيم والنون. الجنة والضمة, not جنة, with the ضمة, جنة. The Sheikh said, this is, I guess, one of the, you know, the shield that you use during the battle. Hey, it's called جنة. And then with the كسر of the جيم, جنة is from the جن. They're called jinn because they're hidden. They're concealed from our sight. We don't see them. They're, and you know, and the other form of life. So this is why they're called actually jinn. Because they are concealed and they are hidden. They're covered with the barrier that makes us unable to see them. So all of them are derived from the same conception, which is that which is covered, protected, away, and things of the sort. وقوله جنتك هذه مفرد والمعلوم أن الآيات أن له جنتين فما هو الجواب حيث كان هنا حيث كانت هنا مفردة مع أنهما جنتان. The Sheikh رحمه الله is very deep in his knowledge that you know it puzzles me. He said جنتك is singular. Had you only said when you entered into your Jannah. Although we know that there are two Jannah. وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا رَجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ. And strike for him the example of two men, we gave one of them two gardens, Jannatayn. So the context in the beginning of the ayat was two gardens. Now the man is telling him, had you said when you entered into your Jannah, how did it become singular? Although Allah told us that he gave him two gardens. The Shaykh will give you everything. So how do we answer that? فالجواب أن يقال إن المفرد إذا المفرد إذا أضيف يعم فيشمل الجنتين. Linguistically, if it is added, if it's mudaf, I don't even know how to translate that to English. Anyways, in the language, if it is used in this context, it could include both gardens. Even if the word is singular, it could include both with the singular because of the location in the language, which is mudaf. I don't know what to say in English. أو أن هذا القائل أراد أن يقلل من قيمة الجنتين. Or his friend was trying to belittle the value of the two gardens. Because he was bragging with the two gardens, so he just called them one garden to, you know, put him down. لأن المقام مقام وعظ وعدم إعجاب بما رزقه الله. Because he is, the context of the verses is that he's trying to admonish him. He's trying to admonish him, and that, you know, he should not be proud of what Allah gave him, in the sense. كأنه يقول هاتان الجنتان جنة واحدة. As if he's telling him these two gardens are nothing but one garden, trying to put him down. تقليلا لشأنهما, to belittle them. والوجه الأول أقرب إلى قواعد اللغة العربية. قل جواب ولولا. He said, but the first is closer to the Arabic language, which I did not elaborate on due to the lack of knowledge that I have. وقوله ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله. ما يحتمل أن تكون موصولة ويحتمل أن تكون شرطية. Again, grammar. It could be conditional. ما شاء الله. فإن جعلتها موصولة فهي خبر لمبتدأ محذوف. الله المستعان. Let me go just one. ما شاء الله. Okay. ما شاء الله كان كما نقول ما شاء الله كان وما لم يشأ لم يكن. So whatever Allah wills will come into place, will come into existence. And وما لم يشأ لم يكن. Whatever Allah سبحانه وتعالى does not will, it will never come into existence. كان ينبغي لك أن تقول حين دخلت جنتك ما شاء الله لتتبرأ من حولك وقوتك ولا تعجب بجنتك. What was expected of you when you entered into the garden was to say ما شاء الله, there's no will, there's no, you know, except that of Allah. Nothing will happen except by the will of Allah, meaning you have no power. You have no power or authority. So you declare your innocence from claiming authority and power to yourself, and you do not become obsessed with your garden, where you praise yourself because of the garden which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. You did not make yourself, you know, it's Allah, he is the one who allowed the garden to form in the way it is. وقوله لا قوة إلا بالله لا نافية للجنس وقوة نكرة في سياق النفي فتعم والقوة صفة يتمكن بها الفاعل من فعل ما يريد بدون ضعف. We explain already قوة. Remember the definition of قوة. We said it's the ability, it's an attribute which indicates that the doer is able to do whatever he wills without any deficiency, without any weakness. يعني the ultimate power to carry out whatever is intended. فإن قيل ما الجمع بين عموم النفي عموم نفي قول القوة إلا بالله وبين قوله تعالى الله الذي خلقكم من ضعف ثم جعل من بعد ضعف قوة وقال عن عاد وقالوا من أشد منا قوة أولم يروا أن الله الذي خلقهم هو أشد منهم قوة ولم يقل لا قوة فيهم فأثبت للإنسان قوة. والله the Shaykh is deep. طيب let's try to do this. Okay, we were saying the whole time لا قوة إلا بالله. There is no power except that of Allah. No power. So we have been taught and we learned that we deny and negate power to anything except by Allah. This is one context. Then there's another one, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that we were given quwwah. And the verse we quoted earlier, it is Allah who created you from weakness and then gave you after weakness power. So Allah affirmed power to the creation, although we say لا قوة إلا بالله, there's no power except with Allah. Then Ad, the tribe of Ad, they said who is more strong than us, who is more powerful than us, and Allah says did they not see that the one who Allah who created them is more powerful than them. ولم يقل لا قوة فيهم, Allah did not say there's no power for them. So in both context Allah affirmed power to the creation. Allah affirmed power to the creation. Allah said that He created the human being after weakness, He gave him power, quwwah, strength. And then we say, لا قوة إلا بالله, that there is no power except with Allah. So how do we reconcile between this and that? فالجواب أن الجمع بأحد الوجهين. The answer is we could bring harmony and reconcile between these two in one of two ways. الأول أن القوة التي في المخلوق كانت من الله عز وجل. The power that is available in the creation was from Allah to begin with. It's from Allah to begin with. فلولا أن الله أعطاه القوة لم يكن قويا. Had Allah not given him the strength and the power, he would have not been powerful. He would have not had any power unless he was given by Allah first. فالقوة التي عند الإنسان مخلوقة لله. So the power that we have is the creation of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. فلا قوة في الحقيقة إلا بالله. Then in reality there's no power except by Allah, because the power that we have is not self-generated. You don't produce your own power. The power which you have was given to you by Allah. So then we're going in the same thing. So although it was affirmed to the human only got it from Allah. So there's no problem with that. الثاني أن المراد بقول لا قوة أي لا قوة كاملة إلا بالله عز وجل. The other thing is that what is intended لا قوة إلا بالله, meaning there's no perfect power except that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no real perfect power, otherwise there's power that is deficient. Our power is limited. وعلى كل حال فهذا رجل صالح أرشد صاحبه أن يتبرع من حوله وقوته ويقول هذا بمشيئة الله وبقوة الله. Either way, this righteous man in Surah Al-Kahf with the two men, one with the two guardians and his friend, he said this man was trying to teach his companion that he should declare his innocence from praising himself due to his own power or his own will, and confirm that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Affirm that to Allah alone, and not to give himself these particular attributes, because he has no power to bring this garden in the state that it was in. It was all done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وفي هذه الآية إثبات اسم من أسماء الله. What name of Allah do we get from this ayah? Name. Allah. Good one, Muhammad. Allah. Look at the verse. ولولا إذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله. There's no other name. لا ما شاء الله. ما شاء is not a name. لا قوة is not a name. They are attributes maybe, but not a name. The only name we get is لفظ الجلالة. And we must learn that it's called لفظ الجلالة. لفظ الجلالة. يعني the term of جلالة is like the greatness or majesty. A term of majesty. We don't want to say Allah only, because sometimes when you're dealing with the grammar and you're trying to mention what the location of the word grammatically, like you say this is a verb, this is a noun, this is a pronoun, you don't want to say Allah is a noun. You see what I'm saying? Because of the issue with the conception that حسن Allah is a noun. It's not, but that word is. So that's why the scholars use you to say lafdul jalala, which is speaking about the word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we will not fall into this area of problem. Is that clear? No.
Okay.
English. Let's say in the English language, you have a adjective, adverb, noun, pronoun, and things of the sort. In the Arabic language, you have also, you know, فعل, مفعول به, فاعل, مضاف, إلى آخره. You know, as different things. So sometimes when you do an i'rab, which is some part of the Arabic, when you give each word in the sentence its grammatical position in the sentence, you may wind up saying Allah is maf'ul bihi. And maf'ul bihi means that which is the action is done to. So you wind up saying Allah is in the language, in the grammar, is something that is not really what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Because when you say Allah, people think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't think of the word only. You follow me? When if I was to write, when we say Allah, you don't think of the word. You think of Allah Himself, right or wrong? So if I'm teaching you grammar and I say Allah is mudaf or Allah is a pronoun, Allah is not a pronoun. Allah is Allah, the Khaliq, the Creator, the Sustainer. You see? So because of the problem where, you know, the grammar, the tense or whatever the verb, the word is, whether a noun or otherwise, could be given to Allah, so we call it lafdul jalala. So you will no longer be saying Allah is a noun, Allah is a pronoun, something along these lines, because it is not befitting. Not clear? Lafdul jalala? Lafdul jalala. Lafd is like the term.
Take us over there.
Not really. It's just man, sometimes look, it's just that we're trying to look, how do we, yani we're trying to avoid using the word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless we are in the context of reading the Quran or the Sunnah or we're speaking about Allah. Because there are times when you'll be doing grammar and other things, you don't want to use the name Allah in this context because the people may associate that with the grammar. And they think Allah is a noun or Allah is a pronoun, and that's not... The word is The word is, but not Allah Himself.
Yes, yes.
So that's what we call it, Lafzul Jalala.
You mean replacement?
It's a replacement. Aywa, exactly. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, proxy name for the.
Aywa, there you go. That's what it is. Khalas? Allah musta'an. طيب المهم إيه وإثبات ثلاث صفات and three attributes are confirmed. الألوهية which is يعني المألوه أي المعبود, the one who is worshipped, the one who is worshipped, meaning Allah being the only one who is worshipped. الألوهية, we get this from Allah, from the word Allah, which is the only one who deserves to be worshipped. والقوة, power or strength. والمشيئة, will or intent. Al-Mashiyah is close, a more accurate definition actually, Al-Mashiyah is intent. Mashiyah. Intent. And then Irada is will. Al-Mashiyah is intent, Irada. And Irada is will, inshallah. A. Let's just finish this one. وَمَشِيئَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ إِرَادَتُهُ الْكَوْنِيَّةِ وَهِيَ نَافِذَ فِيمَا يُحِبُّهُ وَمَا لَا يُحِبُّهُ. Now this is very sensitive, everybody must understand. If you're sleeping, wake up. مَشِيئَةُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, which is basically the intent of Allah. It is His universal will. Universal will. And as we explained universal before, it doesn't mean that it's all over the world in a sense where like Universal Studios or something. Universal means dealing with the creation, the universe, everything, life, universal. وَيَنَافِذَ فِيمَا يُحِبُّهُ وَمَا لَا يُحِبُّهُ. The will of Allah will be carried out regarding that which He loves and that which He does not love. To give you an example, does Allah love kufr? Allah doesn't love kufr. Isn't it by the will of Allah that kufr is something that exists today?
Yes.
This is a universal will. That this is moving. It's in place. It's taking place. It is occurring whether Allah loves it or not.
Obedience.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Obedience and disobedience. All these things are fallen to that. Because there's another kind of will which is the legal one. Which is only that which Allah loves. And He loves Iman. So we will deal with that. But this one is intended. Universal includes that which Allah loves and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't love. But He intended and He willed for that to take place in His life due to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Due to the wisdom of Allah. Even if He doesn't like these things, it is the wisdom of Allah that they actually exist in order for the life to move on, for our testing to be carried out, and for people to enter Jannah accordingly and enter Jahannam accordingly. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. ونافذ على جميع العباد بدون تفصيل. And it encompasses all of the creation. It is carried out throughout all of the creation without any distinction, without any exceptions. The kafir, the believer, the good and the bad, everyone. ولا بد من وجود ما شاءه بكل حال. It is inevitable that what Allah intends or wills will take place without a doubt. 100%. Whatever Allah wills will come to existence. فكل ما شاء الله واقع ولا بد سواء كان فيما يحبه ويرضاه أم لا. So whatever Allah wills will come into existence, whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that thing and is pleased with it or otherwise. And then inshallah we will postpone dealing with the continuation of that till next time. Tonight was a very strange dars. And the Sheikh, you know, when the Sheikh gets so, I mean, we're not going to blame the Sheikh, blame myself, blame myself really for, this is very, yani, this is not your average book. You must understand, you know, this is not, you know, for the average people. This is very extensive. Someone who must have a background linguistically, you know, a number of things. So we're really trying to scratch the surface of this knowledge here.
And
so, yeah, this is much, very much advanced. You know, the average student of knowledge does, you know, maybe might not know this. And this is someone who's really learned the deen comprehensively. And so, you know, whatever, I have made mistakes or whatever, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, pardon us. Not, you know, I just try my best. The things that I ignored for a good reason, so I will not cause more confusion for myself first and foremost and for you. But inshallah, the Shaykh will eventually go back to the more subtle style, which is not very, this is very detailed, where he deals with even the grammar of every letter and every word and what the linguists have said about. Yani it's very extensive, very extensive. So we will try to just move on while trying to reap the benefit from the things that we can relate to, inshallah, and the things that we don't understand, ma'alish. It's all extra knowledge, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal, wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad, jazakum Allah khair.
And what's the meaning of Lafz al-Jalal?